91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to a Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. Download that app, that Tide 100.9 app, to your smartphone, and you can send us an app message. We got a lot of app messages last week. I think people were a little frustrated, so let's see if we can get some positive app messages maybe this week. But you can send those right there on the app at Tide 100.9. you want to email us, you can do that, wimpandberry@yahoo.com. we want to thank Yellowwood. That's pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, Chase, then the only choice is Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Football is quite different than it was last week. Got some great games. I hope I get myself out back straight. That was the worst week end for me, the worst pick I've ever made. I didn't get to hear the show. How did Doug do, Barry?
Doug was fine. He was good. He talked about...
How many games did he win?
He was 2-1 last week. So Doug is currently 4-5 on his picks. But
I'm terrible.
Well, he's looking for it. I'm pulling up the games he picked yesterday, real quick. So yesterday, Doug's three games. If you want to copy off his plate, he's taking Oregon -27.5 against Northwestern. He's taking Tennessee +7 against Georgia, and he's taking South Carolina -5.5 versus Vanderbilt. So
the Tennessee's getting 7 at home?
Yeah, +7. Well, it was yesterday. Now, whether it's changed or not, I don't know.
I saw it this morning. It's +3.
That means it dropped tremendously. Then it was 7 yesterday when Doug
That's what I was asleep. But I look at it. Anyway, I apologize for the bad pick. I had one couple of my buddies that thought I was smart, and they texted me who I thought they ought to pick, and I told them
you are right. That line has dropped 3.5 points since yesterday at Tennessee Georgia line.
Yeah, so to me, that's Tennessee and 7 was money in the bank. And I gotta be careful with it. People like polls, and when you get on here, just sort of try to say a few things before Barry gets on it. They had a recruiting poll for 26, and this doesn't mean anything, but it just means that a lot of SEC teams high in Georgia, A&M in Texas for 2, 3, and 4, and Tennessee and Alabama were 7 and 8, and Florida and LSU were 11 and 12. But my point is that a lot of teams from the SEC had supposedly on paper, you never know how they're going to play. It's what our fans don't catch on to. So anyway, I don't really have anything to start off with, except, you know, we got a great weekend of football. And Alabama, Wisconsin, 28.5 is. And I also kind of interesting to me. I don't know if I watched some of the Clemson game. If they got down pretty bad against Troy, they're playing Georgia Tech at Tech, Tech gets 3.5. That's kind of interesting to me. So we'll see what happens. Outside of that, I don't really have a whole lot to talk about. Go ahead.
All right. Monday Night Football last night. That game was not very good. The game Sunday night was really good. Last night was the Vikings were just not good at all. But it seems like whenever they're down, the team that's down comes back and wins. The Vikings end up winning 27-24. More importantly, I'm 1-0 in my fantasy league. I beat my mother-in-law. She didn't quite understand how the scoring worked, but she is 0-1. So, and Mac beat Jack. That's all we care about, Chase, right now at this point. So, Mississippi State, Chase. You know, Chase got on an LSU shirt. He went to Mississippi State. I don't like the finding the schools for the field storming. I mean, come on, guys. The Mississippi State hadn't won a big game at home in forever. It's a night game, and to win on a long pass like that, I mean, what are they supposed to do? They're coming on the field. Now they got $500,000. They just take that. Do they just take that out of their check? But now when you're having to pay these athletes, $500,000 don't sound like much for an SEC team, but with this NIL and revenue sharing and all that, they need every dime they can get. Do you like the finding of the court storming or the field storming? I know you said somebody's going to get hurt and the spectators shouldn't be on the field and it's emotional and somebody's going to hit somebody. I get all that, but come on. 500,000? I don't know. I'm okay with them coming on the field. How about you?
I think I am too.
I'm tired of it.
I think I am. There are times that you question it, but I think I'm okay with that. I don't see the fine for that. The SEC is trying to be sure they're ahead of the problems that might come up in the lawsuits that would be occur doing that thing probably some.
I think it was John Calipari said after the game, put 2 minutes on the clock, and then after 2 minutes, they can come on the court. That would give your team time to, in basketball maybe, give your team time to shake hands and get on out of there. So you got 2 minutes to do that.
They don't do it much in basketball, do they?
They do it a lot in basketball.
I don't think they did when I was coaching, did they?
I don't know. I remember in South Carolina, I think they stormed it one time. We beat Kentucky, and they stormed the court. Now everybody beats Kentucky all the time, so it ain't no big deal. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, AC?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. How you guys feeling?
We're fine.
Good.
What's up?
All right. So Bama plays Wisconsin. I mean, my favorite Big Ten. So what are the odds Wisconsin pulls off an upset? Do you see a low-scoring game? Because I hope Bama wins this one, because next two games, they're going to lose. I'm 90% confident, because Diego Boy is going to light them up, and Georgia's going to maul them, and then Crybaby Crimson Tide, they're going to cry like no tomorrow. Back to week one suffering. So enjoy next game, because next two is going to be more suffering. So what do you think about that Wisconsin game? You think they have a shot of like a low-scoring game? And what are the expectations for my Big Ten Wisconsin? Can they keep up with the Crimson Crybabies? Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate you, sir.
All right, Alabama's a 20.5-point favorite, so the odds makers aren't real impressed with Wisconsin. So I'm not saying the line's right, but when you're a 20-point, you're a Big Ten school, and you're a 20-point underdog on the road in the SEC, I don't know. Alabama played Wisconsin last year. Is that good for Alabama? They played them and beat them so bad. And the quarterback did get hurt early in that game. As far as a mindset, is Alabama going to think, man, these guys are no good? We whooped them. We whooped them over in Madison. We're going to whoop them again. Or does that give them confidence that, hey, we've been pretty successful against the Luke Fickell football team?
I think all of them feel like it's a winnable game. I think the thing that our fans have to understand is you try to get your team ready to play physically, but you also try to get your team ready to play mentally. And as Barry said, sometimes you think your team is ready to play, and all of a sudden they think it's going to be an easy game, and they don't get themselves ready. And the the mental part makes you play physically a lot better, because if you're good mentally, you're gonna just naturally gonna play harder. So I don't know what kind of thought Alabama has. I know this. I didn't get to talk much yesterday. I'm not gonna talk much today. But I felt like that the one thing Alabama did, they showed enthusiasm. They played hard, and you say, well, the team wasn't any good that they played. That makes you even better. When you get in there and you play poorly, and you know the team's not very good, you still play hard. To me, that was a big time plus for
them. You would, if Alabama didn't show up ready to play last Saturday, I don't care who they're playing. They could be playing Northridge. They were going to be ready to go. If they didn't, then they had a lot deeper problems than we realized. But they did, and I think Tim Keenan was down there with Coach DeBoer at the end and trying to get him some applause. I think sometimes the players feel bad when the people just pile on these guys. And so he talked about Tim Keenan brings energy to the sideline. They better find some people to bring energy to the sideline all the time. And it happened on Saturday. You have the crowd credit. People tell me it was a great crowd, great enthusiasm. A lot of times the crowd can be flat in a game like that, and when they're mad at you as well for not winning. But the Alabama fans showed up. All right, we'll take the first break. We've got a few more phone calls holding. 2 minute truck, you looking to make that local move out of town, out of state? No problem. But the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. Give them a call today for the free estimates. 205-247-5050. That is 2 minute a truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Tuesday morning, a convicted Fayette County sex offender was released from prison and into a community corrections program early. Last week, Timothy Vess Benton was arrested for failure to register as a sex offender, and this time released on a quick bond. Now DA Andrew Hamblin submitted his formal notice of recusal from the case, citing a conflict of interest in his office. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage throughout the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A-OK for your freeways and side streets still. Looking good on Lurleen Wallace and McFarland. That intersection rolling as it typically does. Also moving on 43 southbound onto McFarland. You've got stop and go traffic. More go than stop. So that's a wonderful.
Freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast for the rest of the week. Lots of sunshine today, the high 85. Clear tonight, the low 62. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky's sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 87. The high Thursday in the low 90s at 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
To Inside the Locker, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
I hope you let me come over. I hope y'all let me come over and hang out in the air conditioning this Saturday.
You coming over?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna get up early in the morning and come over. It's gonna be hot.
How early you have to get up, Philip?
I'll have to leave Lynette at about 6 Eastern time.
That's 5. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got a little spot over there. If you get that good and early, you can pop on in there. Nobody's around. You can just, you're good to go.
You got your way already locked in. How to go and where to park.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to get there early though. You can't mess around. You can't screw around.
So when you get there, what do you do?
I'll go to the bookstore and look around for some merch and merchandise and get a little something to eat and get a Bloody Mary somewhere and just, you know, relax.
Just take your time. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It'll just be me and a friend of mine going this weekend. My brothers and all them going to go, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I was going to ask y'all basketball. We got a practice game coming up in 38 days at Boutwell, but I'm gonna throw some numbers out here to you, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I've got Wrightsell, Bristow, and Mallett giving us about 6 or 7 minutes a game. I've got Hannah, Allen, and Jemison, and Onyejaka, the big center that got late. I've got them giving us about 15 a game. I've got Phelan and Bethea giving us about 30 a game. And then I've got
You're Cheryl, talking about minutes now, right?
Minutes. Okay. Yeah, minutes. I've got Cheryl, Bo Bowen, and Holloway give us about 25 a game. So Phelan and Bethea, those two guards, I've got them going about 30 minutes a game.
I have no idea at this point. I think they got a lot of. I don't know their freshmen. I don't really know their transfers either, to be honest with you. I know Millette obviously was there last year, but didn't play. And I know they're high on him. I know the kids that are returning, but that's not a ton of them. I think all that's still up for grabs. Of course, they've been practicing. You can practice now, seems like year round. They've been practicing since this summer. And so the coaches probably have a good feel. But you got a better feel than I do because I hadn't seen them enough. But I know they had some great practices because they got a lot of competition over there.
They've got a lot of shooters. And
they really did.
You know, people are going to have to defend the shooters. There's going to be a lot of them. And I think I don't know what kind of penetrators they have. He got a little bit upset at Mark Sears for overdoing things, and he wasn't defending. But you've got to penetrate in order to get good shots to make somebody else have to help you and kick it to the guy that double teams you. So I don't know what kind of penetrators they've got, but they've got good shooters.
Right. I think Carolina and Buffet are going to be great at the guard position, going to be a big help. And I think this big kid they signed out of Connecticut, the center, Onyejaka, I think he's going to be a player at Alabama. He's got some moves and he's got some speed and he's got good hands. And I think he's going to be a really good inside addition to the Tide. They give him a little bit of a different look. But
I did see him this summer. He brings them a body. The other guys are long, tall, but they were skinny. This kid got a little weight to him, so he can maybe take some of the banging that will go on against certain teams in their non-conference. Another tough schedule, and then, of course, in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I think this Bristow could be a surprise. I don't have him right now getting that many minutes, but he could be a surprise. He may be a guy that might could give us about 10 minutes a game. But the good news yesterday was getting the commitment from the number one prospect out of Tennessee kept the balls away from him, and that was a good pickup for Coach Oates.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I know Tennessee's trying to get this kid from Hill County. I don't think Alabama's really engaged Mayfield, so maybe they'll swap players there, Philip.
Yeah, this guy that Coach Oates got the commitment from, he's 6'9", 195.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Good signs on him, and you're right. It doesn't sound like they're going after the Hale County kid that bad. That could always change, though.
No, they want Caleb Holt. I know he's down at Prolific Prep now. So,
how do you feel about that?
I don't. You know, Prolific Prep's a Adidas school. It's down in Fort Lauderdale. Actually, Jim Farmer's son's down there as well.
He is.
And I know Jim's moved down there. So. I know they got him coming on a visit here in a few weeks, and there'll be a lot of people after him. Kansas, you'll have to, you know, he's from Buckhorn, but left state last year. And I think when they zero in on a guy, they usually get him, Phillip. I wouldn't bet against them.
Yeah, right. Now, what's Jim's son's name?
James, Jim, yeah.
Do y'all, what kind of player is he? Have y'all seen him?
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a lot like Jim was. He shoots a three a lot, shoots it well. I don't know how athletic he is, but Jim's moving around, and he's, you know, I think he's got a chance to be a very good player right now. I don't know who all's after him. I think Jim's trying to hopefully a lot of people get him, go after him. Mm-hmm. But, he's a good player.
Yeah. So
is he an upcoming senior?
No. Well, he reclassified, so he'll be in the class of 27. So
yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's a little bit away. Okay.
Yeah, so
all right.
Thank you, Phil.
Appreciate
you. Thank you. All right. Back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good.
Coach, I want to pass something on to you. Yesterday. When Doug came on, he and Barry got to talking about Keegan Bradley being the captain and various ones on the team, and Keegan kind of insisted that they all go out together as a team and play in that tournament this weekend in California.
Right. And, okay. What happened?
I found that comment to be very interesting, because based on things that we talked about on this show earlier, I think that Keegan recognizes that maybe one of the weak spots with the teams in the past has been the unity of the team. You know what I mean? And I think that they're going to go out there and they're going to play that tournament. I think all but one or two is playing.
Yeah, I thought you said everybody but DeChambeau, and he's not eligible to play in it. So,
right, and he's not eligible, and Xander Schauffele's not going to be able to play. He's got some kind of family commitment he can't get out of. But anyway, Coach, I think that Keegan is going to be interesting the way he manages this team. And I think that's an interesting first step. I want to get y'all started.
Well, I think that's a terrific idea. I think your playing partner, the way you got along with him in the past, you played with him before. I think that's big. If you're there are times that you're not really sure, you know, how comfortable you're going to be with a certain player. So you go into a tournament like that and play with him, you get a little bit more of a feel for the real tournament that comes up. I think this guy has done a really good job. He hadn't got just the good old boys. He's gotten the ones that, you know, they got who they've gotten. The names are not big, but I think he's done a good job as far as getting these people together and getting them to play together prior to the tournament.
Well, you know, Coach, going out there this weekend, and, you know, after hours is what I'm interested in. And, you know, I got a feeling that he's going to want them to, let's get together and have dinner. Let's get together and shoot the breeze a little bit and relax and everything. Not as much on the line. All of them got plenty of money. All of them going to fly in on jets. And all that kind of good stuff, which that's fine, that's good. And but it's after hours that little session that he's gonna have with each of these players. You know yourself as a manager of a team, some things can go on that other people don't know about, and you can say some things in a tournament like that without it being on the line at the Ryder Cup. You know what? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I think what he's doing, I think he's doing it the right way. He's getting them together before the competition, the real competition, letting them play together.
Right.
You know, I think that's they get a great feel for each other, and also sometimes their game is a little bit better. Some I don't know what got some noise in the background, but that's terrible. But
I know I'll call back later.
Hey, but Tom, it's like. It's like when Dad and them would go with Jimmy Rain, you know, and Pat Dye and Spurrier and all those guys. To be with them, and you find out Pat Dye can't make coffee. So, you know, you're making fun. And you just kind of build. But what I'm saying is it's a different relationship that you build with them other than always competing against each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Your favorite coach, Stalin, couldn't work the cotton picking TV.
And Dad got on a horse. Tom, Dad got on a horse backwards. I mean, how do you even get on a horse backwards?
He made my
picture.
Do you think those guys were laughing when he got on that horse backwards, Tom?
That's exactly right. And that's the environment I'm talking about. I think Keegan is going to tip into it. You know, they'll get out there and laugh, make fun of each other and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, you know, I ain't struggling for a paycheck or nothing like that. So they can lay back and have fun and make fun of each other and everything else.
Yeah, and then they'll rub a big tab and put it on somebody. So thank you, Tom.
I like home court advantage too, even in golf. I know you got it's individual game and you got, you know, I like home court. I like people rooting for me. I think that really helps.
That's called home course advantage. All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get to Kevin Skarbinski. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A-OK for your freeways and side streets still. Looking good on Lurleen Wallace and McFarland. That intersection rolling as it typically does. Also moving on 43 southbound onto McFarland. You've got stop and go traffic. More go than stop. So that's a wonderful thing.
Filter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Pressure-treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. He's with the Birmingham News. Has a podcast that he does now. He'll talk about all that at the end of the segment. Joins us every Tuesday, Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Good morning, guys. I'm good. I hope you are as well.
You're good. Go ahead, Dad.
Is the jury still out on the quarterbacks in the SEC a little bit? I think this maybe is the surprise at Tennessee, maybe a little bit. Is the jury still out there with, I get people writing negative articles about people after one game. Where are we with the SEC quarterbacks?
I think that's a good way to put it. I think they all still have things to prove. I don't think anyone has established himself head and shoulders above anyone else. You know, Arch Manning clearly struggled the first week against a very, very good defense in a very, very hostile environment. One of the toughest assignments anyone's had. Played better last week against a lesser opponent, but it was, how bizarre was Steve Sarkisian's answer when you could clearly see on video Arch was wincing or grimacing after throwing one of those balls sidearm in that last game. That was a strange answer by Sark. Gary Nussmeier's done good things, but he's also he's got things to clean up. Ty Simpson looked so much better in game two against a much lesser opponent. Jackson Arnold's been good. John Mateer may be the best of them all. He played against a very good defense what we think is going to be a very good defense in Michigan. And while he made some mistakes and he was running for his life at times, he also made some there was one incredible throw he made on the run into a very tight window that I don't know how many quarterbacks in the league can make. So, look, it's two games. There were very few guys that were proven coming into the season, and no one has established himself yet. I don't know that there's a pecking order even. I don't think we have enough of a sample size.
Okay. I like what Alabama did telling Austin Mack, you're going to play in the second quarter. When you know you're going in the game, you just prepare different. And I don't know if they told Russell the same thing, but I think probably what happened, Kevin, on Saturday night, yeah, the opponent was Monroe, but all three guys played lights out, and all three guys could probably start somewhere across the country. So if Ty Simpson has a good year, but decides to come back, I think it makes managing that quarterback room. There's nothing you can do about it. Very difficult. People be plucking at your quarterbacks. You look at Kentucky. You think they need a starting quarterback? And so I think the new rules and these guys being transferred and being immediately eligible, it makes it so difficult. I guess you can't worry about next year, but you always have to kind of worry about that quarterback position. So Alabama is solid there. But it's going to be very hard if Ty Simpson comes back to hold on to all three of these guys because they're all so good.
Yeah, that's
probably so.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
But I like the approach.
I do too.
Regardless of score, in the second quarter or whatever number series that was.
100% agree.
You're going to come in and you're going to play. First of all, because there's a chance your starter could get hurt. And if your backups don't have game reps, then their learning curve is going to be steeper. So the more game reps you can get those players in games like that, the better. So I think it's a really smart approach. I'm surprised more coaches don't do that. They don't get and Nick Saban was kind of famous for not doing it.
Yeah.
Not getting his backups significant reps. You know, I've never understood that approach, because at some point there's a good chance your quarterback is going to get hurt, even if he's only dinged up temporarily and you have to bring the backup in, or you certainly never want to see him go out for the season or miss multiple games. But you might have to use that backup quarterback. And again, game reps are different than practice reps. And the more you can get those guys in those situations, the better. And yeah, they both. Austin Mack looked really good. Keelan Russell looked really good. He's got people. I can't tell you how many people on my Twitter feed are saying, Keelan Russell, start him the next game. Go to the future. Don't waste any time.
Here's what I don't like, Kevin. Everybody says, yeah, well, Ty Simpson, he's just doing that against Louisiana Monroe. But then they say what you said. I want to say, well, wait a minute. He's doing it against Louisiana Monroe's backups. So why is it okay for him to do it? But when Ty Simpson does it, it's not good. What is this, Kevin?
Barry, you're not asking fans to be logical, are you, on social media?
No.
that's an expectation that's never going to be met.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, good point,
the most famous, the guy that they dying the most for is always the second string quarterback.
Well, always. He's third. He's third.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's clear. And that's another thing, too. And I think, I don't know if this went into their thinking, into Kalen DeBoer's and Ryan Grubb's thinking, but it did show the fans, okay, there is a pecking order here, and the five-star phenom is number three in the pecking order. And maybe that can change, obviously, but I think it was Kalen DeBoer's. Competition is good. Competition at every position is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Ty Simpson didn't lose his job. Or his job was not necessarily in jeopardy because they played Austin Mack in the second quarter for a series. That's just good, smart coaching. It's looking towards the future. It's looking towards the rest of this season as well. Again, you want your guys as ready as possible, and you got to take advantage of games like that where you can get a lot of players at a lot of positions, a bunch of reps.
I'm going to go off topic here as far as college football real fast. I want to get is Bill Belichick, is that not petty what he did as far as the New England scouts? Well, they can't come to our facility because I'm not welcome at their facility. How childish is that? So you're going to take away an opportunity for your kids to be seen by the New England Patriots because your feelings are hurt because of how they treat you at that facility? I don't understand why people aren't burying him for that, Kevin. It's kind of petty, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
It's totally petty. I wonder if dating a 24-year-old has made him more childish. You know, because you never would have thought of Bill Belichick as, you know, you would have thought of him a lot of ways. I don't know if childish was ever a way you would have labeled him before, but it's really childish, and it's detrimental to your team, to your players. You're taking away an opportunity,
yeah.
And I know there are a lot of other NFL teams, but you want to give your players in college every opportunity to go to the next level. And by keeping one NFL team from coming on your campus and scouting your guys, you're making it less likely that that NFL team is going to draft or sign as free agents any of your guys. So you're hurting their professional prospects. And if I were recruiting against North Carolina, I would make sure that the recruits knew exactly.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So
That thing is a disaster. That thing is that whole thing is a disaster in the making.
Yeah, it won't last long. I promise you that. So that.
Well, I'm not sure. This Tennessee Georgia game is a very interesting game to me. Tennessee playing at home. I think they're well coached. I think Georgia is too. Georgia being the favorite in that game because of their grittiness, I guess, as a team in the past. Well, talk about that game a little bit.
I know there are Georgia fans that are concerned. You know, they didn't run Austin Peay out of the stadium on Saturday. Didn't score a whole lot of points. Gunnar Stockton didn't look great. The offensive line didn't look great. They didn't just impose their will and run the ball at will against an FCS opponent in Austin Peay. So there are some concerns. But look, this is until Tennessee beats Georgia, it's been a while. You know, I still have to lean Georgia. But you're right, Wimp. I think you said it earlier. Joey Aguilar has been a pleasant surprise at quarterback for Tennessee. And they certainly got the better of that trade, if you will, if you want to call it that.
They sure did.
With Nico Iamaliava struggling and UCLA struggling and looking like Deshaun Foster is not going to be long for that job if that thing continues. So I don't know. Here's something that's curious to me, guys, and I don't know that we have enough evidence or enough of a sample size to judge this yet. With all of these new light and sound and laser shows at these stadiums, I mean, Auburn unveiled a new video board in their north end zone now to go with their Arbitron, Jumbotron in the south end zone. And they unveiled this new sound system and lighting system and lasers, and they're doing swag surfing at the end of the third quarter. And I wonder if it's harder now, especially at night. And is there a definite difference in night game atmospheres just about everywhere. I wonder if the winning percentage for visiting teams is going down on the road, if it's harder to win on the road now, especially at night, because you're just adding all this intensity. You're pumping up the crowd. Now the team has to live up to it. Obviously the team has to be competitive, but when you get that combination, when the team's playing well and you add all these extra elements that get the crowd involved, and Tennessee will be the same on Saturday. I just wonder how much more difficult it is now to win on the road, if it's more difficult than it's ever been. And again, these Broadway show type things, or these it's more like a Las Vegas type show that college football games have turned into, or an NBA game on grass. It hasn't been happening for that long. But I really wonder if that's having an impact, and not so much hurting the visiting team as it is helping the home team.
I think Georgia, I'm not crazy about the quarterback they got. We'll see. But they knew they were going to win these games, Kevin. Kirby Smart knows how to do it. He played vanilla. He's not showing you anything. Alabama, I was a little bit surprised. They kind of opened up the playbook. They put a lot out there for people to see in a 73-0 game. And so you'll see things against Tennessee you hadn't seen. He knows how to build this thing gradually. He doesn't want to give it all to you here to be scouted. Is that fair to his I guess his time in this league knows that you better hold some things and add as you go?
Yes, that's a very accurate description of Kirby Smart and his approach to those type of games. And you'll notice that unlike some other teams, the Florida Gators come to mind, they were never in danger of losing that game against a lesser opponent. And they didn't look great, and they didn't win by 50 or 70, and you know they didn't set all kind of records, and now they've got people doubting them. Which is exactly what Kirby wants.
Absolutely,
he doesn't want to go to Knoxville with coming off a 73-0 win, and say you know everybody's saying Georgia is the best team in the country, and they're just gonna walk all over the Volunteers in Neyland Stadium. That's not what he wants. He wants people doubting them. He wants people suggesting that they're not as good as their ranking, that they're not what they used to be, that their run is over. That plays right into his motivational playbook. So, no, I don't think he may be disappointed with some of the execution on things, but no, they did not empty the playbook by any stretch. Unlike Alabama, as you said, there were some really creative calls to get Jeremy Bernard the ball, for example, early in that game. You wonder if he was if Kalen DeBoer was doing that to put that on tape, to give Kirby Smart and future defensive coordinators / head coaches something to think about when they play Alabama. But no, this is really the scenario sets up perfect for Georgia to go in there and win the game and show that they are exactly what where they should be ranked and why they're still the big dog in the SEC.
I know we're only two games in, so this is a little ridiculous to even say. But when I look at Oklahoma, I look at Auburn, they're better. Vanderbilt, wow, they went and just took care of business. South Carolina's undefeated. Of course, they haven't played anybody. Is this the deepest SEC? Maybe it's because it's so big, but it seems like even those bottom teams, like the Oklahomas and the Auburns, are much better this year. We know Texas will be good when it's all said and done. Could this possibly be the deepest the SEC's been in a long time, Kevin?
Oh, I would say I was going to say ever, but this is only the second year of the 16-team league.
Yeah.
But yes, the teams that were at the bottom last year, that were expected to be close to the bottom this year, have certainly shown some things. Look at Mississippi State. Yeah. What they did on Saturday night against Arizona State. And you could see that coming. If you know, and I'm just tired of national media types. I think David Hale from ESPN did it. Mocking Starkville, mocking, the community. There's nothing to do there, blah, blah, blah. Kenny Dillingham took a shot. I don't know if he meant it to be a shot before the game, the Arizona State coach. But if you've ever been to a football game in Starkville, Mississippi, when they're good and that crowd is rocking, that's one of the best atmospheres in the country. Yeah. It's not as big. It's not 100,000 people. But it feels like it with those cowbells. Mm-hmm. And so what they've done, what Auburn did beating Baylor, and then Baylor turning around and beating SMU at SMU, that just makes Auburn's opening win look better. What Oklahoma did against Michigan, there may not be, the way I look at it right now, based on what we've seen, we may not have a great team in the SEC this year. There may be no all-time great team. There may not even be a national champion. That remains to be seen. However, from top to bottom, there is no question, and it makes Rhett Lashley's ACC Media Days comments look all the more foolish, that mocking the idea that the SEC is the deepest conference in the country. My goodness,
yeah.
I mean, are you kidding? What we've seen so far, and I think it's going to continue. I think you're going to see it with Alabama, Wisconsin on Saturday. You're going to see, and that's why these games are so important. Look at the record of what the SEC's done against other Power Four teams so far. It's far and above any other conference.
I don't really have anything. Auburn goes in, wins two, and they've got these two road games. Your feel on quarterback had a good game. I thought the blocking was really good against Baylor. I thought it was. And gave them a chance to run a lot. Do you feel like that Auburn is way, way ahead of where you thought they might be? These road games against Arkansas and A&M are going to be dangerous. Where do they stand on that?
Yeah, they're definitely improved. I don't think there's any doubt about that and what they've done so far. And they did to Ball State what Alabama did to Louisiana Monroe, what you're supposed to do to an inferior opponent. You're supposed to put them away early, knock them down, keep them down. I mean, they held them to -3. They held Ball State, and I know, but it's Ball State. Okay, we can always add that asterisk with a lot of these games, but they held them to -3 yards rushing and 68 total yards. Think about that. For an entire football game, they had 68 total yards of offense. So I expected the Auburn defense to be solid, if not better. And I think they, even though the pass defense didn't look very good against Baylor, look what Baylor turned around and did against SMU. That quarterback's got almost 1,000 passing yards in two games. Sawyer Robertson looked really good for Baylor. So maybe it's not quite as bad that he threw for 400 against Auburn because he did it again the next game. But their defense, I think, is going to be solid. And if Jackson Arnold can make good decisions under duress, and that's what this is really going to come down to, and the Oklahoma game is going to be the real marker for them and for Oklahoma as well. You know, they weren't expected to be great, but they brought in that quarterback with his offensive coordinator. If that thing continues to go the way it did against Oklahoma, that may, or against Michigan, that may be the best hire, offseason hire. That could turn out to be the best offseason hire in the country, and portal addition, bringing in that quarterback and offensive coordinator combination. So that game, to me, by the end of this month, when you think about the games to come, Georgia-Tennessee this week, LSU-Florida this week, next week you've got Auburn at Oklahoma, and then in 2 weeks, and then Auburn at Texas A&M after that. You got Alabama at Georgia on the last Saturday of the month. There's so many critical games coming up over the next few weeks that we're going to know so much more when the calendar flips to October. I think it's going to be borne out, though, as you said, Barry, that this is the deepest the league has ever been. May not be a great, great team, but there are a lot of good teams, and you better be ready to play, or you can get beat by just about anybody.
I could have asked you this, and I didn't do it. I know you got to go. The carrying on and booing of the Florida coach.
Biggs
is having a tough time. I said when it happened, he's off the hot seat. But somebody's going to turn the burner back on with the schedule. And we've already lost. He's already lost the game. They probably thought he would win, of course. Athletic director is home free. He's got a new.
He just got an contract. Extension, yep.
Yeah. And so he's home free. So he can hire who he wants to. Should they get a chance? I've never liked a quarterback.
But how many teams in this country? Forget South Florida. That's a bad loss. But you shouldn't have played them. What would anybody's record be in this stretch of games? This is their next stretch of games at LSU, at Miami. I mean, how many teams in the country could go to those two and win? Texas, at Texas A&M, Mississippi State, who's good now, and Georgia. I mean, there's not a team in the country that could win all those games.
You compare their schedule to Texas' schedule. It's a cotton picking joke.
I mean,
you can compare their schedule to the Cowboys' schedule.
Who could survive that, Kevin? I mean, how could you survive that?
That's why the loss to South Florida is so debilitating. But that's another contradiction, as you were talking about earlier, Barry. So everybody in Florida, or not everybody, but a lot of fans now, of course, they're back on the Fire Billy bandwagon. And it was a horrible loss. But South Florida, is one of the best, maybe the best group of six team in the country. They beat Boise the week before. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe it's a, certainly it's a game Florida should win at home. And given their schedule, it's a game you almost had to win to avoid a disastrous season, it seems, although he did turn it around last year. But South Florida, so which is it? Was it a horrible loss or was it a great win for South Florida?
The person
because
that should
that's,
be,
that's a good football team. You know?
The person that should be fired is the one who scheduled that game. With all that other stuff, you can't play South Florida. Ask Alabama. Well, I don't know.
I've said this before, guys. I think Billy Napier understands how to build a program. He learned from Dabo. He learned from Saban. He understands, and he's done that. He has built a better program. But as far as a sideline decision maker and a play caller, he's not it. And he is the last person to realize it. He was asked yesterday if he had any intention of giving up the play calling, and he said no. And if you watch Florida play, first of all, they've got the most boring offense in the country. They have all these playmakers. He's done a great job recruiting. Their talent is way better than their execution and their performance so far. He's got these flashy wideouts. He's got powerful running backs. The quarterback has not played well, but you know what? You know what that shows? It shows that spring practice matters. It shows that fall camp matters. That practice reps, while they're not game reps, they matter. And DJ Lagway missed an awful lot of time in the offseason recuperating from injuries. He looks rusty. He doesn't look like he has confidence. His footwork was all messed up on Saturday. Missed some good throws. You can't score 16 points at home against anybody, let alone South Florida, as good as South Florida may be. So, yeah, it's going to be hard for them. I mean, they could win. They could lose five in a row, four in a row in a blink.
Yeah,
just because of the schedule.
Yeah.
They can play well and lose all those games.
The only game they're going to be favored in the next one, two, three, like six is Mississippi State at home, and they just beat Arizona State.
Yeah. And that's not a gimme. Yeah, that's not a gimme, as we said already.
Yeah.
So it's a brutal schedule. But it's also something to look forward to going forward as the SEC decides on how it's going to construct these nine-game schedules. There could be vast differences in the strength of schedules within a conference because of the size of these conferences. And Wimp, you pointed it out. It is almost criminal that Florida's schedule is as difficult as it is, and Texas's schedule is as relatively easy as it is. That is horrible. And if I'm Scott Strickland and, you know, I'm talking to the SEC about that going forward because they got dealt a bad hand in this first round of schedules with the 16-team league.
No doubt. Kevin Taylor, by the way.
They have come out, for both of you, they have come out and talked about, as the years go on, realigning the three that you play, trying to get, that's what I heard yesterday. I think
They're going to have to.
And they're going to.
And that's
going
to be fascinating to see.
They're going to try to keep the rivalries there. The rivalries, you know, the Alabama-Auburn, they're going to stay there as much as possibly can. I think Tennessee-Alabama's going to stay there. But they're going to have to realign as some teams get real good and some teams get real bad.
They can't lock in the schedules for a long period of time.
Yeah, they do it every 2 years. You redo it, I would. All right, Kevin, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, keep up with everything I'm doing. First of all, follow me on Twitter/X at Kevin Skarbinski. You can follow my two columns a week in the Birmingham News. Find them on AL.com. And my new podcast, Kevin Skarbinski Scarbo Knows, you can find that on YouTube. Had an episode yesterday. You can check out. That's on Auburn. And are they really for real this time?
Yeah, we'll see. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, we'll take this break. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to be cranking out the Alabama football discussion as the Tide gets ready to host Wisconsin on Saturday morning at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. We'll be joined by the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, who never holds back on his analysis, plus another special guest, your phone calls, and much more. That's the Gary Harris Show, Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Got some active road construction. It's starting to slow you down just a skosh. And that's on 2059 moving in that eastbound direction right at Joe Malisham Parkway. And then we've also got heavy traffic, well, a little heavier on 69 southbound onto
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers pitched 8 no-hit innings and eventually beat Colorado 3-1. L.A. still one game over the Padres for first place in the NL West. San Diego won in 10 innings, 4-3 against Cincinnati. San Francisco hit 5 home runs in an 11-5 victory over Arizona. Boston won 7-0 at the A's tonight. Garrett Crochet now 15-5. He struck out 10 in his 7 innings. Victories for Seattle and Texas. Wins for Atlanta, Cleveland, and Philadelphia, which shut out the Mets 1-0. Minnesota came back for a Monday night football victory at Chicago 27-24 with 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, all from quarterback J.J. McCarthy. 2 on passes and 1 TD run in his debut. The Vikings had trailed 17-6 early in the fourth quarter. 49ers tight end George Kittle could miss 3 to 5 weeks after yesterday's hamstring injury. They'll be at New Orleans on Sunday.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker. Appreciate Kevin Skarbinski who joined us, Tom Phillip, AC, those guys who called in the first hour. Phone lines are open now, 205-342-9904. I want to thank our great sponsor, Tuscaloosa Toyota. We'll talk with Justin tomorrow about all the cars they got out there, trucks, SUVs, whatever you need. But that website is outstanding. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com and look at that Tundra, the 2025 Tundra, 1.99% APR for 72 months. They have a tab where you click on new inventory, pre-owned, if you want to see what they have pre-owned on the lot, schedule a service, rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com if you like to talk to people. And you want to go in there at 3325 Skyland Boulevard, find Justin or one of the sales guys there and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, Georgia, 2 cupcakes games the first 2 weeks, which is probably smart. Work out the kinks, kind of look at your players. If you had some questions as to who should be starting, if it was a 1-1A there. You play vanilla on offense. You just do enough to win the game. The game's never in jeopardy. People say you don't look good. Nobody's high on you. And then, boom, you're going to Tennessee, which will be a high energy. Is that the best way to do it, or do you like to win big and everybody bragging on you and telling you how great you are, or do you like to do it the way Kirby Smart's team's done it? Maybe they couldn't help it. Maybe they wanted to blow these teams out, but they seem kind of vanilla. I think that's for a reason.
Am I on? I can't tell if I'm on or not.
Yeah, you're on. You're on.
I just, I feel like they just did what they felt like was best to do. And that was play some young people along with their starters after they got them out of there and got some experience for them because they thought maybe they might need to be a little bit deeper against Tennessee. That was my thinking. You know, he played his best people, his ones, but he played his twos a lot, according to what I can find out. And, you know, the quarterback situation in Georgia is not a named quarterback as we talk about quarterbacks. That's the reason I asked the question. You know, somebody, people, you know, they question a little bit. And the questions about the Tennessee quarterback have grown very, very high. And so I think it's a little bit of a surprise to me. I don't think I'm on blue plate this. I didn't ask it for that reason. I think people thought I probably did. It's a little bit of a surprise to me that Georgia would be any kind of when they turned out to be the 7-point favorite. Everybody jumped on that bet. It dropped down to 3. That's the reason for that. Is it a surprise to you that Georgia's going to Knoxville and as 3-point favorite?
Yeah. I mean, I would think you could put that game at almost a pick 'em, and it would still go both ways on the betting. But at 7, you knew the money was going to pour in on Tennessee,
sure.
So that dropped it immediately. Now, Georgia may go in there and blow them out. I think Georgia's had Tennessee's number. But, yeah, that certainly did surprise me. It came out like that.
Well, yeah, the bookies scratch their heads on that one a little bit, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's only game 3. I hate to talk about this, but I think as the coaching staff, they have to kind of look. They've been watching these quarterbacks practice out there, and Ty's clearly the starter. But they may look at Keelan Russell and say, that's the future. Like, Ty's the starter, Keelan Russell's the future. When he got to Jalen Hurts was going to be a senior, but they felt like Tua was better. And so Jalen ended up after that junior year transferring or whatever to Oklahoma. You know, Ty could come back if he wants to, but if they think Keelan or Mac are really going to be better in the future, then after this season, they're going to have to kind of decide what they're going to do there.
Wow.
And I think playing these guys will keep them happy right now. So I would tell Mac or Keelan, hey, you're going in the second quarter. I don't care what the score is. You're going in. You're going to run the offense. You better do some things to hold on to these guys if they're that good, because it just the way this thing is set up, I don't know how you hold on to these guys. It's just so difficult.
I don't think Mac's the prospect to leave. Okay. I know nothing about it. Coming from the cold country to here and having been recruited by this staff prior to them coming to Alabama, I just don't think he's a prospect to leave. I think that's good. You may be 100% correct, but I just of the ones that are there, I just don't think he is. I think Coach, from what I can gather, worked really hard for them to be darn sure that in passing the football that they didn't throw it into double coverage, and that they worked really hard with Ty and got him straightened out. And knowing full well that the other two guys are as good as he is with no defense, they're just throwing the football athletically, as we talked about. But I think you certainly need to keep Russell there and do everything you possibly can to play him. I could be dead wrong, but I don't think the kid the other kid is going to leave personally. I don't.
What I liked about Russell, though, a lot of times you put guy like that in and you don't want to run the score up because you don't want to embarrass anybody, so you just kind of hand the ball, and he doesn't run the offense. They let him throw the ball around and run the offense. Like, we're going to put you out there, we're going to have, let's see what he can do, let's let him run the offense, let's let him pass the football. It's not trying to rub Lizzie Monroe's nose in it, but we got to see what this kid can do. We got to give him real game reps. I think that's what you have to do. You can't put these guys in there and just have them hand the ball off for a quarter. They came to play ball, and that's the way they coach it. Some people say, well, you don't want to embarrass anybody, you don't want to run the score up. Well, unfortunately, that just is what it is. So I like the way they handle the offense with these guys by letting them, you know, throw the ball as well.
Well, I think it's important. The transfer rule is a very, very important rule. Some we don't particularly care for it, but it is a big deal. When you've got three guys at the position that everybody talks about that runs the team, all three of them you think have great qualities, it's a booger bear to make them happy. But I do feel like I'll say this again, that the kid having been recruited by this staff when they were at the other place is a plus to keep him.
So, I mean, they almost
need to keep Russell too, but Russell is, I don't know who's best on those in the games. That's the offensive coordinator's decision, but Russell's got to be very, very good, very athletic. So
he's the number one rated quarterback in the country. They almost need Ty to have a great year and go to the draft where he's good enough so then they can hold on to those two guys and bring another guy. They almost need him to be that good. And if he's not, then they're probably going to have to move on from him and give another one of these guys a chance. That's unfortunate. I know people are like, what are we talking about? We haven't even played the third game of the year. But those guys got to look ahead because that stuff's coming eventually, and you can't get caught not recruiting other quarterbacks. Of course, with the portal now, they can go get one if they need to, if they need a better backup or something in that situation. All right, we'll take the break. Open up the phone lines. We also can hear some of the coaches' comments when we get back from break. 205-342-9904. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. FYI, we do have a surface tree accident on 5th Street at 26th Avenue. Now, this is causing considerable delays, stretching you back to Kentuck Park Road. And then as far as the freeways are concerned, we're not...
Fresh new look coming your way. We're updating our envelope color from orange to white. In August, be on the lookout for your Spire natural gas bill arriving in a fresh white envelope.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Easy and stress-free. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car, your way in Tuscaloosa today.
Crimson Tide today. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As Alabama football prepares for Wisconsin on Saturday, here are thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer.
Just thought overall, guys did a good job of taking everything we worked on during the week, transferring the game plan over to, you know, the game. And just I think, you know, the week in general, they focused on us, focused on our preparation. The week one to week two improvements that you'd expect to have, that needed to have, they did a nice job. And, you know, that's across the board. And, you know, questions about Ty, and I'm sure on that. Your quarterback's always a main kind of a controller of that, and he did a nice job. I think guys just did a nice job of channeling the energy that needed to have happen throughout the week in the right things, just focused on the right areas. And so I thought they did a nice job there with that. So
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane, opening 4 hours before each home game. This fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice-cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! If you missed last night's episode of Crimson Tide Rewind, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider podcast, as well as a video replay on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast for the rest of the week. Lots of sunshine today, the high 85. Clear tonight, the low 62. Tomorrow and Thursday, the sky's sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 87. The high Thursday in the low 90s at 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. All right, we get right here to the Yellowwood Hotline. And phone lines are open 205-342-9904 and bring Joseph into the show. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. What's up, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, your personal opinion, you think we're going to beat Georgia?
No.
You don't think Alabama beats Georgia?
I mean, if you put a gun to my head to pick who's going to win, I'm going to pull the trigger if you get it wrong. I would think Georgia's going to beat Alabama.
I got you. Wherever, I mean, I think Alabama doing what they were supposed to do.
Sure.
Versus Louisiana Monroe. And everybody says, he says, with Alabama, some Alabama fans are going overboard and say, oh, it's turned around. I ain't ready to say it's turned around yet until I see us play on the road against a good team. And then win, and then I'll be able to say, it's turned around.
Yeah, I don't know if it's turned around or not.
Well, they don't do that before Georgia. They have an open date before Georgia, and then they have this Wisconsin game.
Well, yeah, Wisconsin open date, then Georgia. Well, there's 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before you have to worry about Georgia.
I'm gonna tell you, if we can come out of the win with Georgia, I'm just gonna be hot up if we go in Georgia State and beat them. That'll make me believe.
Really? You believe they're gonna beat Wisconsin? Do you think they're gonna beat Wisconsin?
If we play like we ought to, we should. But I mean, if we go play like we need against Florida State, no.
Yeah. Anything else, Joseph?
No, I'm just like I said, I was a little worried about Wisconsin. I was a little worried about Florida State. And my nerves are up a little bit about Wisconsin because, it is college football and you can lose on any given day.
Yeah, no doubt. We got to be ready to play. Can't take anything for granted. All right, thank you, Joseph. That's too much noise. All right, let's get to the opening statement from Kalen DeBoer. There he met with the media. The assistants meet with the media. Everybody's meeting with the media. But here's Coach yesterday over at the Malmore building.
Just thought overall, guys did a good job of taking everything we worked on during the week, transferring the game plan over to, the game. And just I think, the week in general, they focused on us, focused on our preparation, the week one to week two improvements that you'd expect to have. That needed to have, they did a nice job. And, that's across the board. And, questions about Ty, and I'm sure on that. Your quarterback's always a main kind of a controller of that, and he did a nice job. I think guys just did a nice job of channeling the energy that needed to have happen throughout the week in the right things, just focused on the right areas. And so I thought they did a nice job there with that. So three takeaways, no turnovers. Love to see that. Two of them were fumbles. You know, last year we got a lot of interceptions. And so love to see the aggression there, popping the ball loose. And, you know, those are things that get contagious. And I thought, you know, talked to the team a lot about that and how that's got to carry over into this next week. But going to Wisconsin and just a ton of respect for Coach Fickell. We got to move forward. We got to stack days. We got to continue to sustain the effort, sustain the energy, and continue to focus on our fundamentals. You know, a lot of young guys got some experience that I think was really good. Guys are understanding their roles and need to continue to move forward with that and have a big week here. Play again, Brian Denny Stadium. It was good to be at home. Guys really could feel the juice and the energy from the fans. You know, and it helps when you make the plays to give them something to cheer about, too. So just a lot of positives, and we got to keep it going.
Pretty basic stuff there. Anything from that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's basic as it can be. Yeah. Very basic.
Why is Alabama, why can they not sack the quarterback? They had zero sacks, and I know that's nitpicking. But they didn't have a sack against Florida State, no sacks. Does that worry you if you can't ever sack the – you got to be able to sack the quarterback some. Is that – what does that say, anything?
I don't think it does. I think they're more of a read defense. I don't care. Or, you know, I think they work real hard on tackling. I don't think it does. I think the guy knows what he wants to do defensively, I think, more so than people think. I don't think so. They're playing the way he wants them to play in the second game. I guess to beat your opponent, but I think they've got some things worked out there.
Does a coach have to be motivational at sometimes when he talks to you?
Yep. I think he does. After, as I told you, when you get ready for a game, you get ready with your Barry and I, when we got ready with their staff, you get ready for that game, and you think you're ready mentally. And then if they're not, the halftime of that football or basketball game, you try to get straightened out. And then after that game is over and you still didn't have it straightened out, you don't talk anymore much, as much. You make them work. And you give, and they know that you're dissatisfied with their play. And I think probably, hopefully, after the Florida State game, they tried to get them ready. They didn't get them ready. They weren't ready at halftime. And after the game, hopefully they got them straightened out.
Yeah.
Because Alabama came out there with more enthusiasm. And I know I got all about the opponent and all that crap. But sometimes those opponents are harder to play against for me. Than the ones that we really thought we couldn't beat if we played well. So I think this point in time they corrected their mistakes, and that was mental. And we'll see what happens against Wisconsin.
All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, gentlemen. Barry, I will agree and disagree with Coach at the same time. I do believe the lack of a pass rush is an issue.
I do too.
We've got to put pressure. I mean, I don't care. You can allow a senior in high school in college to sit back there and eat a bowl of cereal. He's going to complete a pass.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. And if you're not getting pressure on him and you don't get pressure on him early, he's not going to get rattled. He's just going to gain more and more confidence as the day goes on. And it's going to become a shootout, and I think Alabama's got the weapons, but no, I don't. As a coach, I would never want to be involved in a shootout. I just don't like.
Well, to both of you, he's got a pressure package. He's got a package of pressure defense. I don't know whether they've run. Obviously, they haven't run it, but they've got more than they show. I think defensively, I hope they do. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I hope they do too. I tell you, I'm impressed with the running backs that we have. I do have, hindsight being what it is, I wish you would stay with a running back a little bit longer to let that running back get some momentum, let them get some. you know, get comfortable and let him get in a groove of things. And, you know, if he's doing well, you pull him when he gets tired. That's pretty much it. I do worry about number nine. I forgot his name. I think he's Young. He's not very good at blocking an incoming rusher. He got laid on his back a couple of times against Florida State and against Law Monroe. He's got to get better at that. But so I do believe that's why you see an influx of runners come in that are different. Maybe one's a better pass blocker, but if you continue to do that, then you're going to give away what you're going to do on down and distance plays. So there's a lot of things. My concern was when I called y'all before the season started, I said football, it hadn't changed in 100 years. The philosophy on it has. But, guys, what makes or breaks these football teams is injury luck and how you play up front. When we got bit by the injury bug a little bit. Now, we should be getting some of them back. But I'm still concerned about our defensive front. Offensive front, I just have to say what Proctor is what he is. I don't know. He's been here and started for 3 years, and he still looks overweight, slow-footed. Now, as a run blocker, he's a road grader. But when it comes to pass protection, he is consistently going to get beat at least once a possession. And I don't know that it matters who he play. I mean, if y'all go back to last year against South Carolina, they ate his lunch the entire game.
Yeah.
And honestly, South Carolina should have beaten Alabama. And, you know, I do worry about that. And Barry, you were saying something about motivation. Absolutely. I believe you need to motivate them. But also, when you go back and you look at the losses we had last year, only one time do I think that we kind of, I guess the term would be choked a little bit, was against Tennessee when they turn it over two or three times in the first half and you build a 7-0 lead. And statistically speaking, Milroe had one of his worst games in an Alabama uniform during that game. That I can put that a little bit on the offense. But, guys, when you are not prepared to play against Vanderbilt, Michigan, and Oklahoma, that's the motivation that I want to – it's not really motivation. I want to see them get prepared to play and get focused and ready to play. Alabama, no three losses, to me, were not ready to play. And it's happened – I shouldn't say that more than one time a year. And we said it three times last year and once this year. Alabama was not prepared to play against Florida State. I do think they're better.
I hate to be negative. I hope Coach DeBoer, when that door closes with his team sitting there listening to him, is a better speaker to them than he is to the media.
Yeah.
Better motivational speaker to them. But I just hope he does a better job. I don't know. When he talks to the media, it's just kind of, maybe all the guys are like that. It's just kind of boring, Tony.
Well, let me ask y'all this, Coach Sanderson, and Wimp, you can comment on this. When Saban, you always heard this, when Saban and Coach Bryan entered a room, everybody stopped what they were doing and was eyes forward. Do you see Kalen DeBoer that way with his assistants? If they call an assistant meeting and all the assistant coaches are in there and the coaches are talking, do you think it's eyes forward as soon as he enters the room? Because I don't. I don't know if he demands that kind of respect. Does he have that kind of aura and presence about him that, hey, guy, the man is in the room, y'all better be quiet and get ready to listen? I've heard Coach Dawkins is that way as well. That's the thing I worry to his assistant coaches. There's a professional respect, but are they worried they're going to get chewed out in front of people if they make a mistake or a bad coaching decision? That's the things I think about as well. Because you got to be kept on your toes, man. I don't think you can get too comfortable, honestly. As a head coach, I wouldn't want my staff to be 100% comfortable with what you're doing, you know? And I know Saban did that on purpose to his assistant. But at the end of the day, it made him better. And that's my question to you all. Do y'all think that's the case with him? Does he demand that room? Does he demand that respect? Does he get that presence about him that some of our other coaches had, the successful ones especially?
Dad, what do you think?
I think probably not. I tried to do it very similar to what Coach Bryant, not that I wanted him to bow down to me, but when I worked with Barry or even Fort when I had the Alabama job, I mashed everybody I could mash.
A lot of people would knock on my door before they came in there. I think that's the best way. That was my personality. Now, he's done it differently. His personality is different. It's hard to change that personality when you go like he's gone. I don't know what he says behind Barry's. Absolutely correct. If he talks to his team, that won't work. That's vanilla talk to the fans. So I don't know. I think we're in to see if this changes a little bit by him getting tough on games that we're supposed to win that we've not won. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't, Barry.
I don't either. I don't know, Tony. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think there's been enough guys play for him that have left, and then you can kind of go back and talk to them, and they talk about the experience there. We'll see here in for too long. But do you think when he closes the door and he meeting with the team, he's different than he is with the media, Tony? I mean, he's a great guy. Do you think he's different?
I would hope so. That's the thing. I don't know. And guys, I understand. Yeah, I think you can be a great guy off the field, but you need to have some dog in you as a football player and a coach.
Well, I said this the other day, and I'm not trying to. When I talk like this, it's not like I'm bragging. I don't mean to be. But Phil Pearson called me the other day, who played for me. He said they had a giant, a bunch of the coaches, a bunch of my former players were saying what would happen to their team if they had played that way with me, the coach. You know, how they would mash them and all that carrying on about. He said it's almost funny. Of course, they added crap to it, but I understand that. But
well, Coach, you're exactly right. Those are great points. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just, if I say stuff like this on the radio, it sounds like I'm trying to boost what I did, because, hey, everything I did right, I did a hundred things wrong too in having people, but do they quit talking when he walks into the room? Probably not. Do you have to knock on his door to go in to see him? Probably. Maybe I'll ask the secretary and ask if he's busy. I don't think the toughness there of worrying about what he's going to think or what he's going to do as a head coach, to me, it's not there. Barry can comment on that.
I don't know if it is.
I don't think it is. And guys, the other question that you can ask is, do the players fear him? I'm sorry. I called it a fear for respect, kind of like you had with your father when you were 10, 11 years old. I mean, I'd just soon go do jumping jacks in I-20 to smart off to my dad, because I knew what was going to happen. Do these players fear their head coach? In other words, like Kenny Stabler just said about Coach Bryant, all you wanted was him to come by and pat you on the butt and tell you good play. Because if he said anything else, it was not great.
I had players who really just couldn't stand the way I, you know, tried to mash with Hollywood Robinson, tried to get him to play defense. Robert Ory tried to make him behave, all this kind of stuff. And it's like your kids. It's like Jim Scott and Barry for me. When you go through tough times, you really don't like it until you get back and have your own kids and you look back at it. I mean, I'm just saying this to the public. When you look back at it, you say, "Boy, I'm sure I'm glad he did what he did." I think about stuff like that all the time, you know. And the funny part about it, I got something from Robert Ory and from Hollywood Robinson in the last week or two, and the last sentence was, "I love you." And I started framing and calling it to everybody. But the things will change as I've tried to make Barry behave or Jim Scott behave and do whatever, and I wasn't real hard on them. It changes for you when you have your own family. When you go through tough times, it's uncomfortable. When you get through those tough times, you're glad it happened.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it's just, I know we can't compare him to Coach Saban or Coach Bryant because there's only been two of them. I don't know if we'll ever see another one like that in our lifetime, my lifetime. But, you know, there's a formula that worked. And if that's not who you are, I don't know if you can transform into that. But we know what the formula is. And if you look at those two coaches, they are similar.
Yeah.
Coach Bryant and Coach Saban. Yeah. And there's the formula right there. So, yeah. Well, y'all have a good one, guys.
Thank you, Tony. All right, let's take the break. Let's tell them about Bryant Bank before we get to break. We come back with the vinegar tip.
Well, Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. I was over there the other day, and they'll do everything they possibly can to help you, but business or personal account. A lot of places that you can go to, four big banks here in the Birmingham area and throughout the state of Alabama. And I think you'll find that they're interested in you as a person. They'll know you the second time you're in there. If they don't know you the first time, they're interested in doing what is best for you. When you deal with money, you be darn sure that your money stays there, and it stays there with Bryant Bank. Nobody's going to come in and fraud you out of it. And you can bank online around the clock.
All right, we'll take the break. We'll get back the vinegar tip for this Tuesday. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still looking at a fender bender on 5th Street in the eastbound lanes at 26th Avenue. Now, this will take you or brake light you back to 30th Avenue. And we also have a report of a fender bender in Coker.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got
the time has come. Vinegar tip for this Tuesday, brought to you by State Farm Insurance agent Michael McGuire. Michael's my agent. Let him become yours at 302 Merchant Walk, Suite 200, Tuscaloosa, obviously right across from Indian Hills there. Swing by. He can look at everything you got, home, life, auto, whatever you need, 205-752-8500. Zero. All right, what is the vinegar tip for this Tuesday?
Well, I hope it's better than my blue plate was. I'm still worried about that. But anyway, if you want a safe and inexpensive way to stop having bad breath, so many people had bad breath and they don't really realize how bad their breath is, then this is a good way to stop this cotton mean. I don't know how much our listeners kiss their wives or girlfriends, but you don't want no bad breath. So what you do is you get you some apple cider vinegar as a mouthwash just before you start brushing your teeth, and you add a tablespoon to a half a cup of water, and you swirl it around in your mouth for about 30 seconds, and it kills a lot of the antibacterial stuff in there. It makes your mouth a lot better. You're not going to leave it in there for a long time. You go about 30 seconds. And this apple cider vinegar, along with some water, before you brush your little teeth, before you kiss your wife goodbye or whatever, that is the thing you do. It won't cost you a penny. Get you some apple cider vinegar and do that. And I think it's a great, great tip.
You missed my tip yesterday. Michael McGuire was over at Old Waverly, or his dad was, and he saw Brian Harden, and then the guy they were playing with said, "Oh yeah, my mother-in-law has been drinking honey and vinegar forever." And they're like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, and it works." And they were like, "Well, how old is she?" She was 103. They said they were going to start hiding her vinegar. 103, they were going to hide her vinegar so she could stop drinking that vinegar. He said that was a true story there. So apple vinegar, cider vinegar, and honey, Chase, and you could live to be 104. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
So
if you got bad breath,
if you're 103, ain't bad breath. I guess if you're 103, you deserve to have it. But that
you ain't kissing nobody at 103.
You might be. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire. Go to coverageforttown.com or give him a call, 205-752-8500. Old Waverly, is that a good golf course?
Oh, yeah, Old Waverly's good golf course. Yeah. It is. I've gone over there a couple times and played years ago, but, yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not easy to get to, too. Yeah.
Is that Mississippi?
Yeah.
Mississippi?
Yeah, it is. I forgot exactly where I went. I can't even remember who I went with, but I've gone and played a couple of times. It's good.
All right, tomorrow we'll have Bill Cameron, Auburn report. Now, Auburn's going to win this game Saturday against South Alabama. Then they got road games at Oklahoma and at Texas A&M. So it's going to get real after that. So we'll find out a little bit about this Auburn football team as that gets it gets real serious. It gets serious for
hard
Alabama.
To read down. Hard to read down. That's the reason I've asked a couple of questions. Really a little bit hard for me to read. But I thought the blocking against Baylor was really good. Downfield blocking and all was good when he ran football. So I'm not sure how good they are. I think he's got a very good defensive coordinator. And I think he knows what he's doing. The offense has been okay. So,
based on what you've seen from Alabama, all right, they're going to be they're favored against Wisconsin. Will they be favored at Georgia?
No.
They'll be favored at home.
Let me back up on that. It's according to the outcome of the Georgia-Tennessee game.
All right. They'll be favored against Vanderbilt at home. Be curious. Will they be favored? I guess they will at Missouri.
I would say it'd be a pick 'em.
Then they got. Will they be favored against Tennessee at home?
No.
At home?
Well, according to how Tennessee and Georgia do, Barry, have you looked at these lines? And I don't want you to tell a game. Are there any? I just want you to tell me the answer.
I hadn't studied them. I'm just looking at their schedule. Okay. They got Tennessee, then they're at South Carolina, and they got LSU, then they got Oklahoma. There is no more easy games other than Eastern Illinois, to be quite honest with you. So, all right, we got about a minute and a half. Get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry. Good morning, guys. Coach. I've been in the weather for about 4 days. I've been kind of inactive on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with my better half, May-May, and I want to thank you for right to breath. She hadn't wanted to kiss me for the last 3 or 4 days.
But
now he tastes like apple cider vinegar.
I knew my vinegar tip was going to be good. That's how I helped y'all. Yeah.
I'm going to kiss her when we hang up like you've never seen.
I'm going to give you a bit better piece of advice. Let's get you a Tic Tac.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Larry.
Enjoy the show.
All right. Get you some gum. Get you some gum, Chase. Or a little spray. All right. We got to get out of here. We got to make way for the Gary Harris show. All right, Gary's in. He'll be ready to roll here. Where is old Gary? Is Gary here coming in today? All right, good. All right, the Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. That vinegar tip, get that clean breath. You got to have that clean breath, so take that vinegar to clean that breath. I don't know about that, Chase. Are you following any of these vinegar tips, Chase?
I actually am.
Yeah, good.
Told my mom about the honey thing, and she was like, that's pretty interesting.
There you go. All right, that's it for today's show. Before we go, though, Chase, we got to thank my main man. I forgot about this, and I don't know how I could forget. Brian Harden. Brian Harden, poor Brian, that blue plate special last week. He got to do better. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa Beyond for over 30 years. That's Brian Harden Construction. They're your partner in industrial fabrication, steel work, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel and 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led. That's Brian Hart Construction. 205-759-1337. We appreciate Brian and his great staff over there to being a sponsor of the Blue Plate Special and to be a sponsor on Inside the Locker Room. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah.